It's episode 217 of the Cruise Dudes Podcast.
Welcome to the Cruise Dudes Podcast with your hosts, Tommy Allison and Scott Andrews. We celebrate the cruise vacation lifestyle. Got your passport and cruise card ready? Welcome aboard to our show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 217 of the Cruise Dudes Podcast. I hope you're having a great summer. Summer 2024. You're on a lot of cruises. You're relaxing. You're unwinding. You're just enjoying life. Ah, great, great, great. I know a lot of you are having some wonderful cruises. I've been watching you guys on Instagram. Sharing all about that stuff. That's awesome. And Facebook, and too. So happy that you're out there enjoying yourselves with your family and friends. So, hey, listen, it's still summer. We're kind of kicking back a little bit, but we have a special show for you today. We have a show, what I call a flashback cruise, and we're going to be talking about our 2023 adventure to Alaska on Discovery Princess. And this was with myself and my wife, and Michelle Young and her husband, Tom. And this is their first cruise to Alaska. And they were so excited about this. We had been planning this for almost 2.5 years. And so we're going to have a conversation with Michelle. And you might recognize her voice. She is a podcaster with the podcast, the Disney Dream Girls, out of England. And so you'll enjoy her British accent. It's a wonderful accent. But she is such a great friend to my wife and I, and her husband, Tom, is such an awesome guy. And we're going to share with you all of their experiences. And this is just part one. It's a really long conversation. But you know what? You're on vacation. It's summertime. This is the time to relax and enjoy those types of things. And so let me tell you out there, you're going to enjoy this interview. Actually, it's a conversation because we're sharing. We're going to talk about what we did before the cruise. We're going to talk about Seattle. You're going to hear all of everything and all the experiences. And you might want to take some notes down because you might want to experience those things as well. So without further ado, let's get on over. Yes, let's get on over to our conversation and our flashback cruise, our 2023 adventure to Alaska on the Discovery Princess. Well, I'm so happy to have my good friend, our good friend, my wife's and myself's good friend, Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls. Good morning, good afternoon, Michelle.
Ship ahoy there, Tommy. I am well. Thank you for inviting me to come and speak with your wonderful listeners about our adventures in 2023.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm so glad to have you here today because we get to relive our experience last year on our vacation, our holiday, as you call it, to Alaska. And that was your first adventure, first cruise to Alaska.
It was indeed, and it was the most memorable trip of my life. It was absolutely fantastic, not just because of the cruise line, not just because of the fantastic location, the fabulous food, but the company.
Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so nice. So generous. So just to give people a little perspective about this adventure, as we call it, Michelle and her husband, Tom. I'm Tom. I'm Tommy. He's Tommy. Well, let's get this all straightened out. I'm Tommy. He's Tom. So if
Correct.
You get, so when we're talking about Tom, we're talking about Michelle's husband. When you're talking about Tommy, we're talking about me, the cruise dude. All right. So I know it can get kind of confusing because I kind of confused it right there up in the beginning, but there we go. We kind of get that straightened out. So it was the four of us. And so our spouses together. So we got Tom and Michelle and Tommy and Lena. And we planned this adventure, as we call it, a couple of years ago. And Michelle planned a trip to Los Angeles, Southern California, before we went up to Seattle and onto the cruise. And she came out here and spent a few days in Southern California, visited Disneyland, visited with us and stayed with us in Santa Monica. And then the four of us, got on a plane back to LAX. And we went and flew up to Seattle. And so we're going to start right there because we had just the greatest, I guess it was a great day just starting out on that. Don't you think?
It was fantastic. It really was. It was everything I wanted Seattle to be. And we landed into the airport. We had some fantastic views of the Seattle skyline as we sort of flew in. It was amazing. And before we knew it, we'd got our hire car and we were trotting on over to drop our bags at Hotel Max before the adventure began at Pike Place.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a really good location. The hotel was kind of funky, don't you think? This was a little bit older hotel, but it was modernized.
The room itself was smaller than most cruise ship liners' staterooms.
Yes.
It was so tiny. And you go into the room and you sort of look around. It's like, well, where's the bathroom? The bathroom was literally a closet door. One of them was the toilet and the other one was a walk-in to a shower. And this room, literally, we couldn't get in from the other side of the bed. We only had one way to get in. So we had to sort of crawl over the bed to get in.
Yes.
It was so tiny. But do you know what? We were in a fabulous location. It was clean. It was comfy. And it was a reasonable price. So for me, it did the job.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It was so centrally located is that we could walk down to Pike's Place. We could walk over to the mall and a couple restaurants and things like that. And so it wasn't like, far away from anything. And so one of the things that we wanted to do, because Michelle and my wife are big Starbucks fans, they're Starbucks lovers, is that we went over to the first Starbucks over at Pike's Place.
Oh, man. And what an experience that was.
And there was a little line, wasn't there, to get in?
Oh, man. I don't know, listeners, if you've ever been to this particular Starbucks branch, but it is absolutely tiny. There's no seating inside. There is a walkway right outside the store, and they have put barricades up. And there's a barista waiting outside, and she controls the queue. And when we joined the queue, no word of a lie, it was about 4:25, and they were closing at 3:30. No, sorry, I tell a lie. It was about 3:15, because they were closing at 4:30, and we joined the line, and it was quite a line. And they were only letting one party in at a time to go and order the beverage, buy the merch, and then leave. And Tommy and my Tom sort of disappeared elsewhere because my husband was feeling a little bit unwell. So Tommy did the gentlemanly thing and made sure he got back to the hotel while Lena and I joined the queue of death. Oh, my word. By the time it hit 4 o'clock, the barista was walking up and down the line saying, "You may be in the line. You may not get coffee, though. We are closing for a special event this evening at 4:30. That means the last guest will be going inside at 4:15. And we were like looking at each other and thinking, there's a fair few people ahead of us, but there's more behind us. So we kept inching and inching and inching towards the front of the line, and no word of a lie, we were the last two they let in. There were about 45 people in line still behind us, even though she said, you're not going to get in the shop. We were the last two in. We bought our merch and we bought our exclusive coffee, and then literally Tommy joined us and we walked up the road to the other Starbucks and he got served within 2 minutes.
Yeah, I just yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I can't believe that it was just, the line was just so long, and then you were the last two visitors, customers that day. And I see your, I was looking through the pictures and I could just, the smile on your face, Michelle, you know, this was kind of like going to Mecca. this was like a Holy Land experience. This was like up there for you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your the smile on your face was just, you were just beaming. You were just beaming. You had made the journey. And you had climbed the mountain and you had hit the peak.
100%.
And
I love my Starbucks.
You love your Starbucks and you love your Starbucks mug. And it's, I'm sure it's has its own place on your Starbucks wall with your other Starbucks mugs, correct?
It absolutely does.
And how many Starbucks mugs do you have?
I've actually started downscaling some of them, and I don't have the espresso ones anymore now, but I still have the full-size cups, and I have about 130.
There you go, everyone. Starbucks lover right there. And that didn't stop with Starbucks. And we went the next day, we went to the roastery, correct?
Oh, my word. The Starbucks roastery was a completely different experience. It has different coffees, and even the food inside the Starbucks was so much elevated. It was fantastic. Again, Tommy missed out on this because he couldn't park the car, so he had to go and wait, and we went in and enjoyed our beverage, and we got, I think I got a raspberry croissant, which was just to die for, but yeah. That, again, was another really high point of the trip. But we did that after having some cultural sights of Seattle toured by Tommy's Tours.
Yes, we went down to the downtown area where the Space Needle is and the Chululi, I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, Glass Museum. And so we started our adventure that morning, getting up early and having a couple of croissants and coffee over a little shop across the street from the Museum of I think it's called Modern History or Cultural History, which is something we didn't do that day, but I've done it before. But it's really, that's really fun too. But we went over there and. After having a little bit of breakfast, and we went over to the museum. Well, we actually got our tickets for both the museum and the Space Needle at the same time. And I highly recommend if you're planning to go there and you want to go to both locations, you can go online and buy tickets that give you both the museum and the Space Needle, and they give it to you at a discount price. And also you can get that reserve time for the Space Needle because you want to be able to go in there, before it gets really busy, because you don't want to be standing outside in line. Because it can get can get warm during the summertime and just waiting in line to get into the Space Needle. I think, did we do the Space Needle first or the...
We did the Space Needle first, and I think that was a top hack we got there for just after opening.
Right.
So we've got some amazing pictures on the glass walkway with nobody around.
Yes.
I watch Grey's Anatomy, so we were able to see one of the buildings that they actually use as the heliport for Grey's Anatomy, miles and miles below us, because obviously the Space Needle is quite high. But we had an amazing time. I think we spent a couple of hours there, you know, just sort of walking around, doing some Instagram lives and sort of.
Yeah, we remember we were on the first level that rotates, and we were laying down on the floor taking pictures of ourselves, you know, rotating around the building, and that was pretty fun just to see the gears and everything that they use to make this operate, and it's just really really fun, and you can actually go right up to the window of the up there and just stand right up next to, against the wall and looking down. And that's pretty scary and fun at the same time. But it's definitely a great experience. I love the Space Needle. It was built for the World's Fair in the 60s, and it's very iconic. And every time we go to go there, it just evokes this vision of the future and everything like that, and it's pretty amazing just that it's still standing there, actually, because most world fairs they've taken down everything, you know, that was built over time, but it's you know, it's, this one has endured the whole change of the area and stuff like that, and it's iconic. Exactly. Very, very iconic. And it gives, you know, for Disney people, it gives off a Tomorrowland vibes, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so and there's you know, there's some inspiration from Disney there at that little park area, and that is, there is a Alwag monorail.
There is indeed. We even got to ride that back and forth.
Yes. Yes. It's a very short monorail ride. I would say it's about 5-minute ride or so. And it only goes down to the downtown mall, which is, you know, kind of, you know, nothing's going on there. I think we went there and we got a drink and, you know, to get some water, and we got back on and went back to the park. But, you know, they do have T-shirts available that you can buy on via vending machine. So if you're looking for a monorail T-shirt, you definitely can pick one up right there. It's fun. That's fun to it. But it's really nice. I like the you know, Alwag was the monorail system that Walt Disney discovered when he was on a trip to Germany. And that's what they used to bring to – they made a deal with that company, and then they came to California to build the first and only monorail system on the Western Hemisphere.
Yep,
it's pretty amazing. So it's fun to still see that there, and it has a really cool neon signage, and so that's really fun. That's really fun. I remember that you really enjoyed, before we went to Glass Museum, that you enjoyed that pizza over at Mod Pizza.
Mod Pizza was amazing. I love the fact I could customize this pizza, and it was freshly cooked and made within minutes. And I could have and enjoy my Hawaiian chicken barbecue pizza. And I'd just seen it being made. I love fresh pizza. And the crust was so thin and crisp. It wasn't ridiculously expensive. Fabulous.
Yeah, I agree. I love Mod Pizza. We have a couple of them down here in Los Angeles, and they're always a fun place to go to get a quick bite and great service. And yeah, it's just a really fun place, and everyone can make a pizza, and it doesn't cost you an arm or leg. And so I highly recommend going over to the commissary that's over at Memorial. It's called Memorial Park over there at in Seattle where the Space Needle. So it's just very close by. You can walk over to it. It's actually probably about 1,000 feet away from the monorail. So after that, we went over to the Geely, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, Glass Museum. And this is something that my wife really wanted to do. And we've been up to Seattle 4 or 5 times. And you know, my wife says, oh, I want to go do this. I want to go do this. And we've never done it before. And finally, Michelle and, you know, Tom were there. And, you know, the stars aligned. And it was time for us to go to the Glass Museum. And, you know, my expectation was not too high. Because I go, what's the big deal about glass? Well, this is a big deal because it's not more than amazing. It is phenomenal. I was absolutely shocked and pleasantly surprised by what I saw.
It was stunning. The installations that have been created were phenomenal. The play with the color, the form, it was outstanding. And then you could go to one of these little sort of mini cinemas. It was not very big, and it goes through the life story of Dave Chihuly and his passion with glass. And he is such an inspirational speaker, his passion for this medium. And then you go outside and these beautiful gardens with, again, outdoor installations. And you may or may not see something very similar to that has been used at places such as the Bellagio in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And also the glasswork by Dave Chihuly is on a couple of the Disney cruise line ships as well.
Yes, yes. So he does amazing work, and it's all around the world. And what's really kind of neat is that not only that you get to see the glass up close, and you know, it's wonderful photographic opportunities in there. I took a ton of pictures, and I'm just looking at them right now, and I'm just blown away by just the amazing colors and the vibrancy and the way they're installed in the museum and hanging from the ceiling, from the ground, from the side of the walls and over and under you. And, you know, and just absolutely phenomenal. And we got some good pictures of us together there in the museum that we took. And I highly recommend going and visiting this. I think one of the other things that was very interesting was near the exit, there is a theater that is constantly playing a couple of playing about, I would say about 6 or 7, maybe 8 different short films about the history of the artist and the installations he's done and how they make the glass and how they do all this different stuff. What did you think about that?
I thought it was amazing. I could have spent a lot longer in the place just being in awe of the artwork. I think we ended up spending about 2 hours there.
Yeah.
I could have spent a lot of money in the gift shop, though. Just be warned.
Yeah, and you can actually buy some of his original art there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's available for sale. Is it expensive? Well, let's see. I looked at it. $8,000 if you want the spring green Persian piece. That's not too bad. Or $7,000 for the glacier blue Persian. It's pretty nice. That's really beautiful. So, if you're looking for an investment in art and you really enjoy glass art, highly recommend taking a visit and seeing this. I think it's well worth your time. And your day at the at Memorial Park and seeing the Space Needle and the Glass Museum and the monorail and then the Museum of Pop History as well. We didn't go at this time, but you know what? You always have to save something for the next time, right, Michelle?
Absolutely.
You can't
next
do every
visit.
Next visit. So you know what was really neat about going up into the Space Needle is that you can actually see the cruise port from there. And we could see a cruise ship over there. And it wasn't our cruise ship. It was another Princess cruise ship. But we were only about, I would say, about 3 miles away from the cruise ship that day. And we had a wonderful view of the that area. And so it really got us excited about our cruise that next morning.
Oh, yeah. Completely giddy.
So we got our car, our rented car back that night over to back to the airport, and that was an experience, wasn't it? But we had parked the car at the hotel when we were not using it, and Valley parked it, and they lost the keys that night, and we were going to go take. And I'm glad we got it returned that night, because if we had to deal with it in the morning just before the cruise, it would have been a nightmare. Thankfully, they found the keys about an hour later, got the car back, and got rested, and woke up the next morning to get ready to go to the cruise port.
So excited. Wanted to be on the ship.
So what were your thoughts when we first drove up? You know, the taxi takes us up to the ship. What were your first thoughts seeing the Discovery Princess at Seattle?
Amazing. A beautiful ship, the beautiful blue and white crisp colors. It was just like screaming to me, come on board, I will look after you. So I was very excited about it all. And yeah, I just wanted to get on board. I wanted to get to my cabin. I wanted to drop my bag and then go out and have something to eat and just begin what was going to be a very memorable cruise.
So we got there in the morning, and it was an easy check-in. And you had to pick up your medallions, correct?
Because I'm from the UK, they don't ship to the UK. So we had to pick ours up, although Tommy and Lena had theirs. But it was really swift. We went and we used our app and we got through all of the checking. They got us our medallions. And before we knew it, we were on the little bridge over to board the ship.
The gangway.
Absolutely.
We got on board. And I think, what did we first do? We went to our rooms, didn't we? Our cabins.
And yeah, we tried to find our cabins. I think you came to ours first, but ours hadn't been prepared as yet from the previous guests. But I like to do little tours of my room. So I did that. It looked amazing. We were on Baja Deck, room 626. And it was fantastic. Lovely balcony, looking over the port. The room was, you know, very, very nice, very comfortable.
Yes, yes. I don't recall what room I was on. I have to look it up. But we had a very nice balcony room as well. And Princess Cruises had a bottle of champagne for me, and chocolate strawberries, and of course we shared. And it was really nice just to be. We felt like, you know, every time we go on a cruise with Princess, we feel just at home, and just, you know, it's just so comfortable. You know, it's like a good pair of shoes. Your favorite blanket or your favorite sweatshirt. You know, it's just comfortable. It hugs you. It says, I'm here to take care of you.
Well,
right?
Talking of being taken care of, we did a little bit of a mini tour, but then we went for lunch. And during lunch, something quite spectacular happened.
Yeah, I know. You know, having these medallions is kind of fun. You know, we had somebody that came up to us and go ahead. You want to talk about it?
It was really surreal because you have the medallion and, you know, you can order the drinks from your app and they bring the drinks to you, which is absolutely sensational. You don't have to have a walk to the bar and a wait. No, the drinks come to you. But this was actually the restaurant manager who had tracked down Tommy because they wanted to speak with him and offered a place for that evening to go to the Princess 360 experience.
Yes, yes. And so we were, I believe his name was Catalan. And he came in, came over to us and said, good afternoon, Mr. Allison. Welcome aboard the Discovery Princess. And we're so glad to have you here today. And we would like to invite you to the 360 experience. And I see that you're with your friends, your guests from England, Tom and Michelle, and we'd like to invite them as well to be our guests. And we were so ecstatic because I did not expect, I was expecting this to happen maybe a little later on in the week, but it was really fun. And the surprise, I knew it was coming, but I didn't want to, I wanted to surprise Michelle, and the look on your face was quite fun to watch.
Well, I'll be honest, when he first started talking with Tommy, I was tucking into my lunch and I thought, oh, great, I'll be putting my face up to the restaurant window and watching Tommy eat this amazing banquet while I'm doing with a piece of Gigi's pizza. But no, it was for also for the four of us. And I am a massive foodie, and to have an invite to such an upscale and quite new experience on the Princess Cruises.
Yes,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, this is only this experience, dining experience, is only on the Discovery Princess and the Enchanted Princess. And you know, at the time, they were trying to keep the experience on social media muted. They didn't want people to share much video. They didn't want you to share video. You could take pictures, but they didn't want you to share the details about the experience and just yet. And so we were able to share bits and pieces on our social media, of course, but now it's more open in the, it's being shared more and more on social media, and other people have taken video and shared more about the menus and things like that. But you're taken into a room, with, about a total of 20 guests, I believe, 10 people on each side, and you're in a circle, a 360 experience, and there's projection technology, that's on the walls around you and then down onto your tables as well. Mm. There's music involved, there's video involved, and you're taking
famous
on
actress.
A famous actress, Brooke Shields is your guest, along with, the host of the show, the restaurant director comes out and along with his culinary team and also the servers. And I have never seen, the servers here are so excited to be a part of this experience, and they're part of the entertainment too. And they're just, you know, everything was precision. Everything that was done was just at a level of precision that was, you know, I want to say, kind of like military, you know, it's kind of like, you know, things that being brought to your, you know, everyone's being served at the same time. You know, it's like all the plates are brought down in front of you at the same time, you know? And it was really fun. And it was really joyful. And the music is invigorating and makes your experience more fun. And then also the projection technology, the projections upon the plate is pretty fun. Your name is on the table, and then you have different things that come alive on the table, and you have like little animals running around and fishes running around, and it's just a really fun experience. And then you have just amazing food. And so let's talk about some of the things that we tasted and explored culinarily at 360 a little bit.
Okay, so we began, and it was linked very much to European cruise ports. So the first area we went to was Greece. So the food was very Greek inspired. So we had some little pita, we had some olives, olive oil and tzatziki to begin, and it was really good. Yeah. Really good food. We moved on then. Not a favourite of my husband's because he has a shellfish allergy, but I loved it. We had octopus.
Yes.
And, oh my word. You know, if you've ever had calamari and it can be quite chewy, this was like, you didn't even need to chew. It sort of dissolved on your tongue. It was sensational.
Now, this was the first time that I had octopus. I've never had octopus before. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great experience. I love the sauce that was placed upon it. It was very, very delicious. And I think they also had like a little bit of a cheese there too.
Yeah, decided. A Greek cheese on the base with some olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil. Yeah, and exactly. You know what? I ate every piece of it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I was surprised for myself because I'm not a big seafood eater myself. I enjoy shrimp. I enjoy lobster, but you know, regular fish, I'm not too much into it. I'll eat caviar. I'll eat salmon, a little bit of salmon, but you know, I just tried, you know, I tried some new things here, and that was really good for me, to explore my palate, as I like to say.
Absolutely. And then we had a tomato dish with some cheese and some
that
balsamic.
Cheese was amazing.
Oh, so good.
It was so good. So good. Yeah.
And we had wine pairings with each course or with each country we went to. So we had a Greek wine accompanying the Greek theme of the food. But then we moved on and we had a lemon pasta dish, and I had never had this. This was going over to the Italian region.
Yes.
And they are famous for their Amalfi lemons, and this was like Parmesan rich. It was lovely spaghetti, garlic, and this lemon, and it was so beautifully presented on these plates. It was just sublime.
Yes, it was this flavor. You know what's interesting is that when you move from dish to dish, every flavor just seemed to be more enhanced, more it elevated your senses. Your senses were elevated more, you know. It's just like, you know, the texture, the taste, the smells, everything was elevated as every different plate came out, every different type of wine that came out. And they paired every dish had its own wine, which was really incredible. So, I mean, I think we had like seven different dishes throughout this experience. Yeah. And so every time, you know, a new dish comes out, a new plate comes out, you're going to get a new wine with it, a different wine with it. And so all the senses are being, attacked, but they're being
tantalized.
Tantalized. That's a really good word, tantalized. So yeah, they're taking you a different direction. Who would have thought that you could have lemon pasta?
I know.
Right?
But we then went to Spain.
Yes.
And oh my word, they had a most unbelievable red wine for us. Now, Princess Cruise Line have obviously spent a lot of time researching and developing this menu and the wines, because these wines that they served with the Spanish course were not aged in a wine cellar.
No.
Oh, no. They bottled the wine and put it at the bottom of the sea.
Absolutely.
And the gentle movement, the ebb and flow of the current kept the bottles gently turning in the warm waters of the Mediterranean, and it produced the most sublime wine ever. It was just so soft.
Yes.
And it complemented, we had like a tapas course, and then we had the most amazing, amazing meat course that was just out of this world. It was just an unreal experience. The beef was just so succulent and soft. And then it had this ginormous prawn on top. It was sensational. And then they poured this little jus over it. And if I wasn't in such heightened company as I was with Tommy, I probably would have licked the plate clean. It was that good.
Well, you know what was very amazing about that particular wine was that you could they left the barnacles on the bottles, and so every bottle of wine not only had this unique aging experience, but also had this beautiful barnacle sea attachments to it, and it almost felt like, you know, that could be a gift of remembrance from your meal. You know, after finishing it and everything like that, I kind of wish we could have gotten a bottle to take home, just to have it, just for, you know, empty bottle would be wonderful to have. I should have thought of that. I don't know why I didn't ask for
next
a bottle.
Next time you do Chef's Table, Tommy.
Next time I do 360, I'm going to ask for that bottle. I'm going to definitely. But it was just, you're right. Everything was, you know, paired perfectly. And we had this beautiful filet topped with this lobster, I believe, on it, and then also the prawn. No, it was a little bit of lobster and prawn, and then carrots and potato, and I think there was a what was that gray puff? There was a little puff that was next to it. Was it kind of like a Yorkshire pudding?
No, I think it was a type of potato, to be honest.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. But everything was, you're right. It was definitely, if we were alone, we would definitely be licking our plates. It would, but it was so delicious. It was so, so wonderful.
We had our last course, which was a yogurt and honey marriage made in heaven.
Oh,
it was
yes.
just sensational.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is that the table, that once they cleared the table and they were preparing us for our dessert, the final plate, a honeycomb was projected onto the table. And then there's like these little bees start flying around your table. And then all of a sudden out comes this amazing, beautiful presentation of a honeycomb honey dessert. And it was just so refreshing and so unique and floral. Is like I wouldn't want to say it. That's what came to my mind, but it was absolutely soft and just not overbearing. You know, after eating six or seven courses, you know, you don't want a very heavy dessert. You want something light and refreshing. And this was the crown jewel of the experience. Wouldn't you say?
Apart from a slight little spoiler from me, is when we met at the meeting point prior to the experience, we were given a cocktail, and then a band played us through Sabatini's to the 360 table. And I just literally felt like this is what it must be like to be a world famous actress, when you walk into a room and everybody puts their knife and fork down, their jaw hits the table, and they're wondering, who are these famous people following these musicians? Yes. That was the highlight, as well as all the amazing food and drink and the service.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely felt very special. And it was a fun experience. And they had, a clarinetist and a flute player, I believe. Mm. I can't remember. Some sort of wind instrument. But, yeah, they were playing the Love Boat theme song as we went into the 360 room. But you're right. It was definitely a amazing and phenomenal experience all around. And then, you know, we got to take pictures with everyone there. They thanked us for coming, and they put our pictures on the wall. And then the chefs came out, the servers came back out. We were able to applaud them, and then our pictures came up on the wall, and I got pictures of ourselves on the wall. That was fun. It was so cool to see that. And I'll tell you, it was one of those experiences that I will never forget. Never forget. It's just, this is one of Princess Cruises' best experience. It's, I think it's very affordable at I believe it's $149 a person. And you're not going to have an experience anywhere else in the world like this. And, I know there are other, you know, other places that have projecting technology and they do this type of experience, but I think because of the intimacy of only 20 people in that room, you're going to have something that is totally different than anywhere else. And I believe that they only do this twice a night on the ship, and so you need to make reservations if you want to do this experience. I recommend booking this experience months in advance. When you have paid off your cruise, or you can go do this, I highly recommend it. The wine alone is probably worth $150. You know, having all the different wines coming at you. Oh, it's great. It's great.
Phenomenal. Absolutely was. It was a very amazing way to start. However, you know, starting on such a high with all the food that followed had to be at that standard, or I would have been an unhappy bunny.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just absolutely phenomenal. Raphael was just amazing. Just our guest host leading us all along, and just, they did such amazing things. And it was just the beginning of our cruise that just went on and on and on. And so you know, we got to our rooms and we just crashed that night. I know I was tired from all the eating and everything like that, but we definitely had one of the most beautiful starts of a cruise. And I will never forget this evening over at the 360 experience on the Discovery Princess. So the next day was a sea day, and you discovered a very special croissant at the International Cafe.
I am obsessed with anything almond flavor, cherry bakewells, pear and frangipan tarts. At the International Cafe, they have the most amazing almond croissants. They go very quickly. Get to have them heated with a coffee. Oh my word, every day we had to go have a couple of croissants and a coffee as our pre-breakfast. Because we obviously have a little bit of breakfast in the room brought to us enjoyed on the balcony. Then we went to International Cafe, had our pre-breakfast, and then we had our proper breakfast, as you do in the cruising industry, so you can take advantage of all the available food. But the croissants were so good, I frequently had to get them and acquire them for Tommy, because sometimes he was not there on time, so I had to, can I have 4 croissants, please, so that we had him covered.
You know what? It's always, this is one of the benefits of cruising with your friends. They'll cover you. They'll make sure you get everything that Tommy, did you miss the almond croissants? I have some for you. Thank you so much. I was not awake for that. Thank you so much. That's amazing. And you know, hey, I like that. I just love those almond croissants. You're right. You got to get them early because they do. I don't want to say they sell out. They're given out pretty quickly. People who discover them, they latch onto them and things like that. And they're just so tasty and so fun to eat. So delicious. You know, we that day was a sea day, so we got to relax, go around and find out all the different places of the ship. Now, did you have a favorite place to relax on board?
I love the piazza because it was just the hub. There was always some music. It was nearby to the croissant delivery station, so I could constantly refresh my croissants. And then during the afternoon, it changed over to sandwiches. So for me, it was ideal because I could just go on the app, order myself a beverage, go get myself a sandwich or a treat or a croissant or something and enjoy the music. It was just a really great place to people watch, beautiful chandeliers, the staircase, the flooring, fantastic, the most beautiful part of the ship.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think what I enjoy about that particular ship is that you're not too far from anything, even though it's it's one of the Princess's biggest ships at that time. And now you have the Sun Princess that was just launched this month, and it's massive. It's absolutely massive. But the Discovery Princess is just a beautiful, and the sizing is just perfect, and everything's spaced out. You don't feel cramped in there, you know. And you know, you're right. I think one of the good things, one of the neat things about the piazza is not only that you have, you know, all the different, you know, like you said, the International Cafe, you have the gelato, you have the pizza place, and then you have, oh, you know what? One of the things that you missed was Good Spirits.
Another place that I enjoy going, and I love watching the little videos about the making of the cocktails. I love the live presentation by the bar staff. I love going in there because they do have some unique drinks you can't get anywhere else on the ship.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a wonderful experience. And if you have the Princess Plus packages, and you can definitely get, we recommend going and using your daily credits over at Good Spirits, because you will find wonderful concoctions, adult beverages to enjoy and try and taste and things like that. And I think I love the butterfly drink. That was one of my favorites, and that's a fun beverage. And there's just and you know what? They change the beverages over time, so there's always something new coming up, coming out. And so anytime you go on a cruise, be sure to investigate Good Spirits and investigate what they have. And they sometimes have the old favorites, and then they have some new things, and just find out what's available and try some of the new cocktails.
And while we're talking of concoctions, let's talk a moment or two about the premium ice creams.
Oh my gosh. I saw a picture of one of them that we went to, and This one was the chocolate with the, I think it had a brownie inside of it. I'm trying to remember the name of it right off the top of my head. Excuse me. Oh, you sent me a sent me the photo.
I'll send you a picture of it. I've got the menu here. The yeah. one that I particularly enjoyed was called The Godfather, and it was fudge brownie, vanilla gelato, chocolate sauce, and a fiotine tube. It was delicious. These are quite easily shareable, and there's something for everybody if you want something that's chocolatey based or if you want something fruity. And if you don't have the premium or plus packages, it's the plus that you get these on. You get two a day. It's like, who in their right mind could eat two a day?
Yeah.
You can pay out of pocket for them. And when we were on board, they were $12.
Yeah, that's a good bargain in my book. I had the Godfather. It was two fudge brownies, vanilla gelato, chocolate syrup, whipped cream, and more. So, you know, you're right. There was, did you say that all the different ones that they had? Oh yeah. It's like,
Da Vinci, the Da Donatello, Vinci. Yes. The Leaning Tower, the Dolce Vita, the Godfather, and the Michelangelo.
Yeah. The Michelangelo, or are you sure that's the correct way of pronouncing it?
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo. Is that the American way and your way is the English way?
Possibly. My Italian voice obviously didn't come out, and that one had a whole muffin in it and a lollipop and all sorts of things. It looked like Willy Wonka had made it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, one of my favorite places just to sit back and relax on a ship is the aft of the ship. And this particular ship has a beautiful, I believe it's deck 7 or deck 8, in where you'll find a pool, and there's a bar back there, and you can just sit back and relax and look at the wake. And as you're going up closer and closer to Alaska, it gets a little bit cooler. And it was August, but it still was very nice weather, don't you think?
We had beautiful. The weather was stunning.
I was told that the previous couple of weeks, it wasn't very sunny, and this particular cruise, we had beautiful weather. We didn't have any rain whatsoever. We had beautiful weather every single day. So let's talk about our first stop. And that was Ketchikan. That was our first port stop. Tell me what you enjoyed about Ketchikan.
If I recall rightly, we got off the ship and we didn't have anything booked on this cruise port. We decided we were just going to wander around. I had done some research about a donut company called Jellyfish Donuts, and I was quite keen about trying these donuts. They were good, melty, because it was such a warm day. We just went and we had a little bit of a wander. We just walked around, we had a look at some of the totem poles that were there, and
we went up to Crete Street.
We did,
and you know, they have this creek, which is actually kind of like a river, to be honest with you. And we walked up along the side, along the pathway of the creek, and just watched all the different activity around there and the water. And it was just really a nice, relaxing afternoon checking it out. And then you said, hey, Tommy, we got to go check and see if we can find a Starbucks.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we got a taxi to this Starbucks, and it was inside a supermarket.
Yeah.
And I am not kidding. It would have been quicker for me to have done the whole Starbucks induction to be shown how to make beverages and then make my own beverage because they were so slow.
Yeah, they were pretty slow up there. And unfortunately, they didn't have the mug that you were looking for.
No.
But, yeah, but, you know, hey, we got some Starbucks and we did a little, had a little experience. And Ketchikan was very beautiful that day. And I highly recommend just going up there just to relax. And there's some shows you can go see. There's like a logging show that's pretty fun if you've never done it before. But I recommend walking around town because the town has some really nice little shops and places to eat food. And overall, it's just a very quaint town and beautiful little town. And I enjoy Creek Street a lot. And that's really fun up there. And I just enjoy these little walks, as I like to call them.
Then we went on the boat trip, didn't we, in the afternoon?
Well, I believe it was in Juneau, wasn't it?
Was that another one? I am completely lost. All the days are just merging into one.
Yeah. Well, maybe, no, you are correct. Because we did, the waterfront and wildlife cruise in the afternoon. That's right. Correct. We had to get back. That's why we didn't have anything booked in the morning. We had that booked in the afternoon. And that was fun because, you know what? It was such a beautiful day, so bright and sunny. And we were hoping that we would see some whales on this particular adventure, but we saw a lot of bald eagles. Had you ever seen a bald eagle before?
I hadn't. And we saw a lot of them. And the beauty of it for us was the weather was so amazing that we were able to be on the outside and admire all the beautiful scenery of that part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what was quite informational was that the area that we were at was that many thousands of years ago, the waterways and everything that you saw, the islands and everything, this was a glacier at one time. And this had the most northern rainforest in the world. That was pretty amazing as well. And so when you look at it and you think, oh my gosh, this whole area was covered by a glacier. And then, you know, everything was cut out by the power of a glacier, you know, these waterways and tributaries and rivers and things like that, a glacier formed them, you know, and it's pretty amazing when you think about that. You know, the power of ice, you know. I would recommend, even, you know, if you keep your expectations a little low, you're, about seeing whales or anything like that, that's fine. Because you'll see other animals. You might see a bears. You'll definitely see bald eagles because bald eagles are everywhere around there. Just overall, you're gonna see just amazing beauty all around, and it's just a feast for the eyes. And it's just so I always feel like when you see blue and green, it overwhelms you, and it just brings a sense of relaxation to you. You know, because, you know, we live in a concrete jungle out here in Southern California, and it's just so nice to see just some pristine nature, areas that you look at are untouched by man. And it's just amazing to think, and it just brings such peace to you.
Agreed.
So what was really nice is that as we were coming back, them bringing us to our ship, we got there like about 5 minutes to 4 or 5 minutes to 5, something like that. We had to be on the ship in 5 minutes. And what's nice is when you do a tour with Princess and your tour is paid through by Princess, is that now you pay for it through Princess, is that if you're 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour late, the ship waits for you. The ship waits for you. And so I highly recommend to book your cruise adventures through the cruise line so that if there happens to be a point where you are delayed, you do not have to worry about missing the ship because the ship will wait for you. So that's just one little side note I wanted to share. But we got there about 5 minutes before we had to board on the ship, and it was wonderful. And we got some really amazing pictures of the ship from a different angle, too.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, and I got some really nice pictures. I really enjoyed just seeing it. So we went up that the next day. We went up to Endicott for scenic cruising, and we saw our first glacier in the morning, like around, I would say, 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, we set our alarm for 4 a.m. We had breakfast delivered. Husband went out on a croissant run, and we were wearing warm jumpers. We were wrapped up with blankets. We sat on the balcony and just let everything float by, and the scenery was sensational. And seeing the sun peeking over some of the mountains was just phenomenal. It was a beautiful, beautiful way to start the day.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you go up there and you see these amazing, breathtaking views, again, you just are just blown away by the not only the size of it, but just the massiveness, just so massive. It's just amazing, breathtaking, just absolutely breathtaking. And you're sailing along and you just feel this connection there. And I just am just amazed by that, just to have that connection. And, you know, the ship quietly glides through the waterways. And so you don't feel like you're invading nature, you know, you're not causing it, disturbing it, you know, and people are quiet. People are just absorbing, you know, this experience. And, you know, this is a photographer's dream because you're going to get these amazing views of the glaciers and the waterways and the mountains and everything like that. But also, you know what else I enjoy is that we had a naturalist on board, and the naturalist is, is pointing out over the PA system, and it's not kind of loud or anything like that, but they're pointing out different things. You can hear it on your TV in your room. That's the benefits of having a balcony. It's just kind of like turn them on, you know, you got your coffee, you got your croissant, go out to the balcony and you can hear the naturalist talking about different things to look at. And they'll point out different things they see. They'll see if they see, you know, an iceberg, or they see seals, or they see some kind of wildlife, they'll point it out to you and tell you where to look. And that's really fun. And they tell you about the history of the area, who discovered the area, and what are the unique points and things like that. And so one of the things that we were this particular morning, we were coming to the one of the glaciers. And unfortunately, because of the sun that morning, and I believe we had fog that morning, we weren't able to see the glacier too well, and which was kind of disappointing. But that's the thing with nature. It's unpredictable, and weather can affect it. And so, Yeah. And sometimes when, you know, the sun comes out at a certain angle and, you know, you get there at a certain time and, you know, and the reflection back is overwhelming. You can't really see it too well. That happens. That's something that happens. But you know what? The beauty of that area is that you are, like I said, you're surrounded by amazing, you know, waterfalls and rivers and things like that, just that are all part of that area that have been untouched by man after, you know, you know, centuries and centuries of time. Thousands, millions, maybe.
And it just means we have to go back.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so that day we, our stop was, I believe, Juneau, correct?
The next stop we had was Juneau, yes.
Yes. And we had two things planned that day. We visited Mendenhall Glacier. And we did a little hike to Nugget Falls. And so what's amazing about Mendenhall Glacier is that this glacier is over 13 miles long. Did you know that?
It's astounding.
And it's the fifth largest ice field in North America. And so many populations near the glacier areas rely on the glaciers for drinking water. Nugget Falls is a short mile hike to absolutely stunning waterfall. It is jaw-dropping, and it's very easy to do. It's a level walkway to that. And, you know, we saw many different people. You know, it's easy for young kids and older people like me, and even older people than me that were able to go there. And once you get to the Nugget Falls, you are given a treat of a lifetime, wouldn't you say?
Oh, we didn't want to leave. We literally spent so much time there. We didn't have any time to go into the visitor center because Nugget Falls, the power of the waterfall and the beautiful clear water, and we could just see the little growlers just floating nearby. It was just phenomenal, and it was such a beautiful experience to be that close. And then we had the little walk back up, and we found a perfect picture spot to get some pictures of the glacier, which was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. The waterfalls were just absolutely stunning. And you know, I saw you were making Skype calls to your friends or your family, and just, hey, check this out. You know, it's amazing. But you're right. It was definitely picture perfect, and loved it. Loved it. I'd never been to Nugget Falls, and I'm so glad that I got the experience with you and Tom that day. And that was a really fun experience there. And Glacier, you know, Mendenhall Glacier is just so amazing. And I recommend going to check this out. This is definitely on your bucket list. Go and do it. Go and do it. It's well worth your time and effort. And then we went, after that, we went to Glacier Gardens Rainforest. Wasn't that fun?
Do you know, I didn't have very high expectations of this park. I just thought it was a little add-on. But to be honest, it rivaled the beauty of the glaciers and Nugget Falls, because it was a one man's dream to build this roaming pathway, which we went up in these vehicles that were like elongated golf buggies. And we got to see the beauty of the forest and the animals. Oh, my word. We had a deer literally walking by the side of us.
Yes.
And it was phenomenal to see this. It's so beautiful, so beautiful.
What was very interesting about this place, this is a botanical garden built by Steve and Cindy Bohe, and they were landscapers, and they built this one-of-a-kind botanical garden in the Tongass National Forest. And you're treated to this tram tour up Thunder Mountain to hand crafted ponds, waterfalls, flowers, and colorful plant life. And Steve had created these flower towers, and these were upside down trees with flowers attached to them and they're on the top of the roots. And it was amazing to see these, to see the roots exposed, covered in beautiful flowers. There's over 20 of these inverted trees in the park to discover and enjoy. And then when you get to the top of Thunder Mountain, you have some amazing scenic views of the town of Juneau and the mountains. And the, I believe we saw an airport nearby as well. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really neat experience. And it's only 5 miles away from Mendenhall Glacier. So if you are thinking, well, should I go do this? Is this something interesting? I don't know, a botanical garden. Go do this. This is amazing. This was a fun, fun experience and beautiful experience. And like Michelle said, you know, we had a deer that just walked right up to us. It was fun. It was really good. Plus, yeah, it had a little bit of adventure with that, you know, that golf cart kind of rocking back and forth. You didn't know if you were going to live or die. So I like that type of experience. What do you think?
I kept thinking, please tell me the brakes have been serviced on this, please, because you were going, you know, at some points it was going up very, very steep. But it was amazing. It was fantastic. And then we had the second of our two dining reservations were made earlier in the week. We went to Crown Grill, which
yes,
absolutely phenomenal. We also then went to Sabatini's, and this was, again, absolutely delightful. I must admit, out of the two, I'm probably going more towards Crown Grill because I had the steak and lobster.
Yes, I saw a picture of it.
Amazing. Yeah. But Sabatini's was really, really good. The only gripe I would have is that instead of getting full-size desserts, they do like a mini sampler of the four. And for me, I like to have one that I don't have to share.
I agree. It's fun to have your own dessert. Yeah, sharing it. Sometimes sharing is not caring.
Yeah. But the next day was the one thing that we were so excited about prior to the trip was to go on the White Pass Railway.
Yes. Yes, yes. And that was in Skagway.
Mm.
Tell us about it.
You were amazed by me because it was the chilliest day of the entire cruise.
Yes.
And I was wearing shorts, t-shirt and a little hoodie, and I was on the footplate between the two train carriages the entire time.
Yeah, you were
taking pictures, and everyone else is huddled around the stove in the compartment. I'm outside. I'm loving it. The views, the water, the trees. Oh.
Waterfalls, just amazing things that you could see on this, and just the stunning, you know, breathtaking drops, you know, that you're overlooking, and you know, the train's kind of wobbling side by side as you're going over cliffs and rickety old tracks and bridges and things like that. And you turned into a popsicle out there, but you loved every minute and you were absorbing everything on this particular adventure. And Tom was having a great time too, and he enjoys trains just as much as I do.
He just had
a good time. The smile on his face was pretty. It was fun to watch. We've done that we've done this adventure a couple times. I think 3 or 4 times. This is I think the third time we've done it, and I definitely recommend doing this adventure. You know, what's really neat is that it's close. The train comes right down to your dock, and you're just able to walk on and board the train, and it's a great experience. Now they do this experience a couple times a day, and so we recommend doing it first thing in the morning so you can spend more time in Skagway exploring after your train adventure. But one of the things I like like a lot about this is that every time you go, you see something different on the train, mm-hmm. and you're able, like you said, is you don't have to sit inside the car. You can go out and stand outside between the cars, and that was quite fun. I was kind of, you know, the one thing that disappointed me is that there were people on that train that were not enjoying the experience. They were sleeping on the train. And, you know, it's like you paid all this money and you're falling asleep. It wasn't just one person in our car. It was quite a few people that just had fallen asleep. And you know what? I just felt like they missed out on something so fantastic, so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? Sleep, if you're planning to go on this cruise, I'm planning to go on this cruise, get some rest beforehand because you're going to be amazing. I've seen amazing wildlife on this particular adventure. I've seen bears, I've seen bald eagles, I've seen all different types of foxes, I've seen all different types of wildlife on that particular adventure. And they're up close too. They're not like, you know, they get up close to the train. So that's pretty, mm-hmm. it's pretty fun. But definitely recommend the White Pass Railway experience. Highly.
But we left you in town because we were racing back for something really exciting that my husband was over the moon to do. And this is puppies in the piazza.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That. So tell us a little bit about that.
So Princess have got a lot of connections with the people of Alaska. We have the naturalists coming on board. And one thing that they have a connection with is a team of dog sleds. And they are trying to get these puppies more used to being socialized around humans. So they take a small amount on board the ship. They look after these animals 100% because if they were in any way being maltreated, my husband would have been nowhere near it because he is very passionate about animal safety and treatment of animals. They were looked after like everything. You know, it was unreal that how they were looked after. And if at any time these puppies needed a break, they were gone. But they didn't. They just laid on these lovely cushions with a handler. You could go up, you could stroke the puppies, have a picture with them. And it was phenomenal because we chose not to do anything based around dog sleds or anything like that. So to be able to see these wonderful little puppies on board the ship, literally, Tom could have spent all afternoon petting these puppies. He was like a kid with a mile-long candy bar. He absolutely loved, loved, loved it. But as we left and went back to our room, we had a mysterious envelope waiting on our bed.
And you know what? We're going to have to talk about that envelope in part two.
Absolutely.
All right, everyone. Part two of our adventure to Alaska on the Discovery Princess. It's coming. I hope you enjoyed this show, and we'll be talking to you again soon. Well, I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Michelle. And we left it with a cliffhanger. Yes, there is a part two coming in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be sharing that with you. And I hope you really enjoyed it. We talked about so many different things. I hope that really stimulated your desire to want to go and visit Alaska. I want to go back to Alaska again. And especially with Princess Cruises. They do such a great job. I just love the Discovery Princess as well. Just one of my favorite ships. Hey, friends, like I said, share this with your friends, your family, your coworkers, people that are thinking about cruising, wanting to know what's the best trip to take, what's the best cruise. I recommend Alaska for first-time cruisers. It's just so many wonderful experiences up in Alaska. Friends, I hope you enjoyed the show. Like I said, look forward for part two and our conversation about our Alaskan adventures on the Discovery Princess. And until next time, friends, keep on cruising. Have a good one.